Welcome to the Scuff Podcast, where we talk about U.S. soccer.
The U.S. U-20s beat Fiji 3-0 on Tuesday, their second win of the group stage at the U-20 World Cup. They're all but assured of some kind of advancement at the U-20 World Cup. It was an odd game. Fiji was dramatically overmatched and bunkered completely. They barely got out of their half all game, but the U.S. couldn't get the breakthrough until the 66th minute. Here to break it down with me is Marcus Chérez, the man behind the U.S. Soccer Collective, which specializes in tracking elite youth soccer prospects. Marcus, thank you for being here, and how are you doing?
Thanks, Bells. I'm great. Happy to be here and doing all right. No complaints.
Good. Good. How are things in California?
I'm in Santa Barbara right now, and for those that haven't been here, it's a kind of a paradise of a place. Definitely a place I'd live if I could.
Right.
But, yeah, it's. I mean, I live in Sonoma, so I'm not complaining either.
It's not too bad there either, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, California's great.
All right. Well, let's maybe any high level thoughts before we get into the lineups. What are we taking away from this game?
I mean, not a lot, right? And I don't think we expected to have a lot of insight into this game, though. I do think there are some things, maybe some players that are sort of materializing as like probably the guys we're going to have to lean on to create chances as we go through the tournament.
Yeah.
So we can talk a little bit about that. I think the game sort of went as expected. The run of play was, you know, obviously very much dominated by the United States. As you said, it took a while to break through, probably longer than everyone was comfortable with, but, it happened. And, so I think like what you take away is that the team did what they were supposed to do. And that's kind of been, I think, an underlying theme under Mike Yvarez is the team generally performs the way you are expecting them to perform. They show up. And I think that was just another instance of this game was another instance of that story.
Yep. I agree. The lineup was for the U.S. was Gaga Slonina in goal. Michael Halliday, Marcus Fercranes, Brandon Craig, and Jonathan Gomez across the back line. So we played a 4-3-3. We played a 3-4-3 against Ecuador, which was a little bit of a surprise, I thought. But for Fiji, we went back to our more traditional 4-3-3. Edelman at the six, Jack McGlynn, and Owen Wolf as the other midfielders, and then front line of Quinn Sullivan from right to left, Quinn Sullivan, Darren Yappe, and Cade Cowell. What did you make of the lineup?
Yeah, so what we rotated, I think, five guys. So Edelman for Kranis, Holiday, Yappe, and Cowell get their first starts. Yeah, Cowell's back from suspension. I think everybody's playing in what are typically their natural positions. So you don't really have any guys that are, you know, like Jogo playing on the right or, you know, Luna playing false nine in the first game. So everybody's kind of playing in their natural positions, which I think in a game that should be like take care of business, I think everything made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. You and I didn't really get to talk after the Ecuador game, but it was, man, what a surprise to see Jogo playing a right wing back in that game. I mean, obviously it paid off ultimately, but did not expect that.
Yeah. In general, I thought a lot of what Mikey did was surprising and more or less worked out. And, he's been pretty consistent with shape and with tactics and personnel deployment. And so yeah, it was interesting to see a pretty big wrinkle in that first game. I was certainly caught off guard, but continue to be pretty impressed by him, but yeah, it was back to a little bit more of the normal in this one.
Yeah. By the way, it looks like Ecuador is ahead of Slovakia in the 69th minute. We'll update you on that by the time we finish recording. To win the group, we would have to beat Slovakia if Ecuador wins, or I mean, you know, some very complicated thing, I suppose. Let's see. So Fiji came out in, I think it was a 4-3-3. It didn't really matter. It was essentially like a 6-4 because they were in their box the whole time. But Mustahib in goal, who played pretty well, I thought. A back line of Raheem, Ravai, Vasconcelos, and Kubu. And a midfield three of Bin Ayas, I think, at the six. And then Beg and Dunn as the other midfielders, and a front three of Sakiri, Ali, and Khan. It's all pretty academic because, as I said, they bunkered as much as you possibly can. And understandably so. They're not a good team, not a strong team. Even playing out of the back against our pressure was pretty difficult for them. So, yeah, that was Fiji's setup.
Yeah, it was basically just looked like a giant rectangle in their own third for the most
part. Did you feel like we got a little impatient? I mean, sometimes the diagonal ball from McGlynn was dangerous, and it actually often it was dangerous. But yeah, did it feel to you like we kind of got away from the sort of patient probing that I think we're capable of at some points in this game?
I don't know. It sort of looked intentional to me at the beginning. Like, it seemed like, you know, maybe they saw something in the Slovakia game where if there was a, you know, weak spot there where they could play that diagonal kind of the side edge of the box and then kind of shift the defense over and then play a quick, I think what they're trying to do is then play a quick like cut back or ball back across to off balance Fiji. So I guess to me it looked fairly intentional, maybe not a product of impatience at the beginning.
That's I agree with that. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
But they definitely started more with the like pistoning and probing, getting more into like central dangerous spots, kind of like maybe like 60 minutes plus in the second half. So it is strange that they didn't start with that because, you know, that's generally where you're going to create the bigger chances. But yeah, it looked intentional. And I think it looked like it was working for, you know, good amount of the time.
Yeah. I mean, Yappy had a couple good chances in the box. Quinn Sullivan had a good chance. I mean, they none of them should be ashamed of the way they hit the ball in those chances, but right. We certainly got our chances from the ball over the top.
Yep.
Let's go to the timeline. It's immediately we hit a long ball. Slanina comes up almost to midfield and hits a long ball to Yappy. He flicks it to Cowell and Cowell wins a corner. So we went right at him.
Yep.
And saw early on that it was going to be Fiji in a low block. The solution was either, like we were just talking about, either McGlynn or Craig hitting diagonals to the other side, whichever side they weren't on.
Yep.
6:45 mark, I clocked a nice slip pass from McGlynn to Cowell, and Cowell hits a left-footed ball across that finds nobody, partly because Yappy was running near post, and then there was really nobody behind making that second run behind him.
Yeah, I thought Wolf could have been more decisive in showing, you know, being a little bit more of a apparent option for Cal as the cutback.
Yeah.
I don't think Cal cut it back quite as much as he wanted to because it found a, you know, Fiji defender, but I think Wolf could have helped him there a little bit by making maybe a little bit of a harder run, you know, in where Yappy had just left. So I thought that was a small detail, but like something I noted that, you know, Wolf could have been a little bit more precise there.
Yeah. I didn't notice that specifically about Wolf, so I'm glad you mentioned it, but it was a bit of an issue throughout the first half. Our box, who else was there to arrive in the box besides Yappy, you know? Especially if Cal was the one providing service. There was nobody, really.
Yeah, generally, I find this to be a consistent issue up and down, kind of like from the youth up to the senior team. It just feels like, or it seems to me that we haven't really mastered that, like, that pattern of, like, one, getting the cutback right in terms of like where it needs to be, and then that second run that's kind of like replacing the striker going near post. I think, I don't know, it just seems like a sequence we get wrong a lot.
Yeah, doesn't materialize because you want Yappy making that near post run to create the space for the second run, but you need the second run to make it work. McGlynn was dropping dimes on the back post, or you know, on the into the box throughout the game, over the back line, many different ways. At the 9:45 mark, he hits a nice ball to Yappy, who thrashes it across the face of the goal on a volley just wide, but he was offside anyway.
Yeah. I mean, something that's sort of materializing with Yappy, and it was happening early when he was getting a lot of minutes in MLS, is he's got a ton of tools. Like you watch him and, you know, he's got good feet and he connects pretty well, and he's got, you know, ability to find teammates, and he even has a little bit of dribbling ability. I think he's got a lot of interesting tools as a striker, but what he's kind of never really been a ruthless finisher, even at like the youth levels, mm-hmm. or like in the academy levels. And so it's a little bit of a narrative I'm starting to notice, that, you know, he gets in good spots. He's very useful, but he just seems to be struggling to put the ball in the back of the net right now. And that's kind of been carrying over from MLS to now. I mean, he's getting in great spots. I think he played well. He just, you know, sometimes
gotta finish.
You're a number nine.
Yeah. You know, hopefully that's variance. I mean, maybe it's not, who knows, but hopefully it's variance, because the getting in good spots is the toughest part, really. I don't know, you know, because of the weakness of the opponent and because we got so many chances in this game, I don't know that we're going to talk about all of them. I mean, there's Craig tried one. We were trying all kinds of things. Craig tried one from about 30 yards, skied it. We won one in the counter press in the 14th minute. Edelman did, sends it over to Sullivan on the right side. He takes a good rip from 20 that goes over the bar, hit it with a lot of venom. There's a nice one in the 15th minute where Wolf wins it in the press directly to Yappy. And I'm curious what you thought of this play, because Yappy and Cal are 2v1 with a lone center back going into the box. Yappy plays just a simple little pass over to Cal, who lets it run across his body and then tries a left-footed shot from a difficult angle that looked like it went over and wide to me. Yeah. And some people were saying, well, Yappy should have taken that shot himself. I don't agree. I thought it was a good decision to pass it. What did you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I know we're talking a lot about, you know, on the Monday review and stuff, you're talking about, like, you know, it's the final third stuff where we're just a little bit off. And I think this is an example of just like why it's so difficult. I think it's like everything's, you know, in large part has to be inch perfect. And I think in this case, Yappy made the right decision. I thought like he had a defender kind of right in his path. I think I thought the pass was just a little bit off. Like it sort of forced Cal to let it slide onto his left foot. Whereas like Cal being a right footed player, I would have preferred the ball to like find like the outside of his right foot, to where he could just take a little touch and then, you know, play it to the, you know, strike it to the far post.
Yeah, he loves to do. Yeah.
Yeah, which like that's his bread and butter. We see that later in the game. But it just, I think, puts Cal in a higher percentage chance to get a goal there, rather than, you know, weak foot with a weak, you know, worse angle. So I think that just little detail there that, you know, maybe a different pass puts Cal in a better position.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it at like 0.25x or something just to really be sure what I think about it. But I thought Cal could have stepped into it and taken it with the outside of his right foot. But then he would have had the keeper, I mean, not the keeper, the center back to his right. So he wouldn't have been able to cut in on him. He would have just had to, you know, I don't know, hit it with his laces right at the goal. Or anyway, didn't result in a goal. Reasonable people can disagree about how that all played out. Cal has a rip that's pretty decent from the right side of the box. Pretty decent and saved.
Yeah, I mean, Cal was racking up chances, and kind of did throughout the game. Glad he got a goal, because he had a, you know, then we'll talk about later. I think he hit the post a bunch of times, and so Yeah, he was dangerous all game. I think generally still, for whatever reason, kind of always looks a little clumsy when we're playing. I mean, definitely an issue that he has generally. He's not always the most crisp attacker one-on-one, but
right.
Oh, sometimes I feel like he looks better when he's playing higher competition defensively, and he gets into these games, and it happened in the CONCACAF qualifiers where he just kind of, I don't know if he's like overthinking how he's going to beat his defender, but he just looks a little clumsy. And that did happen throughout the game, and it happened in CONCACAF qualifiers too. But he did get, again, he got in great spots. He had a lot of good, he strikes the ball super well, but yeah.
This he sure does. Yeah. Yeah. The number of clumsy moments in the first half from him is, there were several, and you're right. It's a lot of like when we're trying to build with him, or he's trying to connect with teammates, he really isn't sharp or wasn't sharp in those situations. But then of course, like around the goal, he is a little bit, seems like he's a little bit sharper, which is kind of a paradox. Quinn Sullivan, who I don't think has had a great tournament so far, at least not a standout one. He did have a nice moment right at the 18-minute mark. He dribbled four guys and got fouled 25 yards from goal. McGlynn hit a decent free kick that I think was comfortably saved. And let's see. What have you made of Sullivan so far? What did you make of him before the tournament? Has your opinion of him changed?
Not really. I think Hartman hit it pretty well, where he's just like a tough player to know where to play. I mean, I think he's probably best suited for like a two striker system that Philly does play typically, but isn't like super common, you know, across, clubs globally. So he's not really a winger because he's not a guy that's going to cook people one-on-one. Right. But he can put in a good cross. He does have some good striker instincts, and he also strikes the ball well. He's sort of like a weird physical profile too. He's like not super tall, but he's not,
smart and quick.
Yeah. He's not like explosive, but he's not like unuseful athletically. So he's a tough one to project. And I think that's kind of showing up in this tournament. It's just like, he's having a hard time figuring out where he can like be most impactful. And I'm guessing he's probably not going to start against Slovakia, and it'll be interesting to see how the front three operates without him, because it did, I think, start to look a bit better in the second half when he wasn't on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you'd think if Paredes is going to come in and play right wing, that's an immediate solution for what's going on there. Right after that, McGlynn free kick was saved. Fracranis ends up on the ball and swings it far post. And Wolf lays it off. I also think Wolf hasn't really stood out yet this tournament, but he laid it off real nicely for Sullivan to take it first time. And he just thrashes it wide of the post. A really nice sequence, kind of probably the way Mikey would like have drawn it up.
Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah, Wolf, I mean, I still think he's probably not the sort of like game situations or roles he's been in. Like this was a more
attacking midfielder role.
Yeah. I mean, I think this role was probably better for him, but you know, the game just being in the final third the whole time is probably not where he's most effective. So I think if you get him in more of a midfield role where we're playing someone who's going to be pressing us or applying more pressure, I think that's where we'll probably see the best from Wolf, is where he can use his kind of feel and technical ability on the ball, his, mm-hmm. and his passing to like, you know, be press resistant, I think is probably his strength. So I just don't think we've seen the situation where he's best suited to show his strengths, but I agree. He hasn't been super impactful so far.
So maybe a stronger opponent is really what he needs. Just like Cade, sort of.
Yeah, or just like if he was playing the role that Obed was playing against Ecuador, I think we probably would have saw a similar game, you know, from Wolf. But he was playing as a half-space merchant, which really isn't where he's strongest.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. Okay. 31st minute, a nice ball from Halliday, sort of clipped over into the channel. So down the channel for Yappy. He runs onto it, cuts it in, a little reverse pass for Sullivan. And Sullivan does have Cal at the far post. Maybe I was thinking maybe he takes it first time, he can get it across there, but he tries to dribble to the end line and gets and then cross it, and his cross is blocked out for a corner.
Yeah, I mean, another great sequence. Halliday was pretty quiet. He didn't have much to do. Right. This is one of his nicer moments. And then, yeah, this is another one where you just see a little bit of that skill from Yappy, too, that gets me excited about him as a striker. But, yeah, just another one where the threat was there, just didn't happen.
And there's been a lot of other chances we haven't talked about. Chances piled up at towards the end of the first half. Yappy had a shot on a poor touch from a Fiji defender. Quinn got the ball in the box and kind of like just sort of tamely lifted it at the keeper.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think our best chances are coming from creating turnovers.
Yes.
And capitalizing off of Fiji's mistakes, which is mainly how Slovakia got their goals against Fiji. I think Fiji made more severe mistakes against them. They cleaned it up a little bit against the United States. And then, yeah, the diagonal balls to kind of the far side of the box. Those were kind of the two ways we were creating chances at this point. And the turnovers were probably creating a little bit better chances because there was more space.
Yeah. That one we discussed where Yappy passed it to Cal and Cal let it run across his body. That was a really bad giveaway by Fiji, and we should have punished that. I think I can safely say, but
yes,
they got their first shot. What, in the 38th minute, Fiji did.
Yeah, I think it was a shot. It like kind of deflected. I mean, which I guess speaks to the quality of the chance. It sort of deflected off their own teammate as. Put kind of, I don't remember what player it was, but
was it the bike? Was it a bicycle kick?
No, that came like I think pretty soon after. This was more like someone just, you know, said a prayer and took a chance like 30 yards out, and I think it deflected off of his own teammate.
There was a last thing from the first half is in the 40th minute. There was a great sequence from Edelman and Wolf. To work the ball into the area, and then Edelman plays it to Cowell, who kind of cuts across the top of the back box and plays just a simple little pass on the ground to Yappy. And I thought this was another example of Yappy doing something pretty good, like he's like standing up two defenders, he's able to get the ball out of his feet, you know, take a touch to his right and hit a good shot that is just wide of the far post.
Just this is the kind of stuff from Yappy where you're like, you know, a lot of tools in the tool belt if he can put it together. He's got really good feet. He just like, we saw that, and I think the last game with the, you know, the step over that he blew by a defender and just took a little bit too heavy of a touch, but he's got good feet. He knows how to get the ball, you know, onto his shooting foot. And I think hopefully the finishing just comes.
Yeah. Hat trick incoming versus Slovakia. I mean, do you think he'll start in the next game?
I'd like to see it. I just think I think that Luna's false nining worked better, but it was like, you know, in the late stages of a game where the opponent was just worn and beat down and probably mentally exhausted from defending in their own penalty box all game. So I still think that the offense operates a bit better with a more traditional nine. And so I'd like to see Yappy start, and I'd like to see Luna start on the wing, which we haven't seen yet, because I think he's the one guy who's been effective in somewhat effective in like unbalancing the defense with the ball at his feet. So it's something we haven't seen yet. So I would be interested to see a front three of Cal, Yappy, and Luna in the next game.
Yeah, I think that's what I would like to see too. Because it seems like we have enough midfielders to to keep Luna out of there, you know?
Yeah.
All right, at the half, Varus replaces Wolf and Sullivan with Shakiris and Luna. Now Shakiris, of course, coming off an injury for the last few months in San Jose. He got his first MLS minutes last week, I believe. And then Luna comes on for Sullivan. And they made a pretty big impact. I think Shakiris is getting, you can see that he's still rusty, but maybe starting to shake off the rust, and really a protagonist in the in that final third in a way that I don't think Wolf was, you know?
Yeah. This was a game you want Shakiris in. And I agree, he was a little hit or miss, a little rusty, but you could see he's just, he's one of the few guys I think on this team that just knows how to find and create space in the final third. And he's just, he's got really good tempo. He moves well after he passes. He's really good at the kind of give and go or 1-2 situation. So I think when you saw the sort of like the all Rondo team in with him, Luna and McGlynn, and you could see how, you could see how that like started to open things up because they're just so comfortable in those situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, Fiji nearly scores in the, I mean, nearly scores may be a little dramatic of me to say, but they have their only real spell of pressure in the whole game right after the kickoff in the second half. They kick it long and it's sort of pinging around in our defensive third. And then they have a long throw that gets headed out for a corner. And on the corner, Brandon Craig's header, you know, he's under duress. He's getting jostled while he heads it and he's trying to flick it backwards off his head. It doesn't get out of the box and it gets volleyed on frame. The player for Fiji who volleyed it, I don't know which one it was, but Slanina pushes it away. It's definitely on frame. Slanina dives down to his left, pushes it away, and then it comes back into the box and gets headed wide by a Fiji attacker for a goal kick, I think by the same guy who volleyed it earlier. That was it for Fiji pressure really in the game.
Yeah, that was their big chance. There's not really much data on Gaga so far. He hasn't had much to do in the first two games, but I'd say he hasn't been the most convincing in the, you know, some of the times he's been pressured on the ball, or even this one, like, wasn't hit with a ton of venom. There was some spin on it, but seemed like a ball that
he could catch. You know,
a keeper with real strong, confident hands would just kind of snatch up. But, you know, he's playing it safe, which I get. So I'm not ringing the alarm bells by any means. It's a note that, which happens, I think, when you don't have a lot to do. And then something all of a sudden yeah, something happens and, it's the life of a goalkeeper. But, you know, just something I'm keeping an eye on is, you know, in a game where we need him to come up big, is he going to, I'd like to see him be a little bit more confident in what he's doing.
Yeah. I feel like he's almost like so inactive back there, particularly in this game, although he didn't have a lot to do in the Ecuador game either, if we're honest.
Yeah.
That he's just like doing weird stuff for fun, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I agree. Like, his body language has been a little odd, even when he's like, you know, collecting a long ball or something.
Yeah.
All right, we're getting close to the goals, so have no fear. McGlynn plays a nice through ball to Yappy, which gets poked away. He's again just offside. Luna gets a strike, a left-footed strike that deflects out of bounds after being fed by Shakiris. Those two, like we were talking about, bringing that sort of probing all Rondo aspect to our attack. And I like it, even if Shakiris does seem a little bit off still.
Yep.
Cowell cuts, Yappy flicks a long ball over to Cowell in the 52nd minute, and he, you know what he's doing from the moment the ball comes to his feet. He cuts in and has one from, I don't know, 22 yards, draws a good save down to his left, a kind of a harbinger of things to come. And then anything on your mind at this point in the game?
I'd just say that I did think that when the opportunity presented itself, like the vertical runs were somewhat useful. There weren't a lot of situations where we could do it, but when Cal had some space to get behind, I do think that's something that can be in our bag for other games. Like that's what we want him doing. So I thought there were a few instances where that looked like it could be useful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You clocked something in the, I mean, there was another McGlynn ball over the top to Cal, and Cal gets his left boot to it and just loops it over. That's in the 57th minute. And then you clocked something in the 63rd minute, which I did not notice.
I just noticed that I think Fiji, you know, it's 0-0. So maybe they're thinking we might be able to just steal one here. And so they started to apply these situational pressure when, you know, if we had like a throw in deep in our own half or something like that. They just, and I think you could hear the Fiji manager call for it a few times. Like it created, you know, zero uncomfortability for the guys, but just something I noticed that like maybe for a second they thought maybe we can force a mistake and steal one, but it obviously did not materialize.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of something. You know, Fracranis got the nod over Winder and Shea. I guess I don't know if Shea would play as a center back in a back four, but I thought this was just the perfect situation for Fracranis because he showed his pace going back to shut things down whenever Fiji did get forward, and he wasn't put under any pressure, you know, when he was on the ball. So outside of this little bit of moment, you know?
Yeah, I think it's one of the most intriguing decisions, or one of the things I'm intrigued to see Forrest do in the next game is the center back pairing. If he sticks with four in the back, you know, I think Craig's a lock, will play anytime he can, but who he'll play alongside him now. I mean, this wasn't, you know, not a lot of data to pull on for Kranis. It was for this game, it was the right game to play him, but, and then you've talked already about, you know, Winder's performance in the first game. So they haven't played Shea as a center back in a back four before. And I don't know that's really his strong suit. So yeah, I'm not sure what we'll see against Slovakia. It'll be one of the decisions I think Varus has to make.
What's your gut tell you is going to happen?
I'm actually going to just check the score now that you say that. It looks like Ecuador's still up 2-1 in the 90th. So that means it's going to be, you know, they're both going to be on 4 points. Ecuador is going to probably beat Fiji, or no, Ecuador will be on 6 points. So we're just going to need to tie Slovakia. I don't know. My gut tells me he's going to go back to Winder and maybe go back to and play Craig and Winder in a back four. I think that's probably what he'll do.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, well, Ecuador will be, I guess they'll beat Fiji, so they'll get six, they'll have six, and then Slovakia, if they beat us, they'll have six. It'll be confusing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, just don't lose, I guess. That's
right. Just beat Slovakia. Yeah. 9-point window, baby.
That'd be great.
Let's see. The goal yeah, comes in 66th minute. It's good patient combination from Luna and Shakiris, or a good patient build up from them, and really from everybody. It was like I counted, it was a 12 pass sequence, or no, it was an 18 pass sequence if you discount the two times it gets knocked out of there by Fiji. So it's just like one touch from them, and then we're back to, you know, probing at them. Luna plays a pass coming in from the left, plays a pass either toward Cowell or Shakiris. I'm not sure what he was trying to do there, but it gets deflected at Cowell, who gets a foot to it and then goes down over an outstretched Fiji player's foot. I think, you know, obviously hoping for a penalty. It looked like a penalty to me, honestly. The ball falls to Luna, who is alert to it as everyone else kind of halts expecting a whistle. And Luna comes in and puts it away far corner. It's a nice finish. Kind of a weirdly broken play that we needed for to get the breakthrough, but it's 1-0 USA, and you know, from then on, it felt like the 3 points were ours.
Yeah, it was a weird play, and I was actually I wasn't able to watch the match live, and so I had kind of kept looking at my phone while I was in a meeting. And, you know, I'm in the 60th, we're in the 60th minute, it's 0-0. And I'm just, you know, in my head, I'm like, what the hell is going on? And so obviously, you know, we watched the game and it's just variance luck. But yeah, it definitely looked like a penalty. I mean, he stepped on Cal's foot, Cal went down, everybody acted like it was a penalty. I think you saw like three Fiji players in sequence, like throw their hands up, like, no, 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 don't call it.
Right.
Just freeze, and Luna stays alert and drills it in the side netting. So weird one, but I think when you're probing enough in the final third, stuff's just going to inevitably happen.
Yeah, that's right. If you spend the whole game in the other team's box, then weird, you know, eventually something's going to happen like that. Right after that, almost immediately, Shakiris wins the ball in the press. And then 1-2s with Cal, I think. Was it Cal he 1-2'd with? Or maybe it was Yappy. And slides the ball across the box, finds Luna with nobody near him, and he skies it with his left foot, which is too bad. It would have been nice for him to get that brace. I'm sure he wants it back.
Yeah, this is the cutback we're looking for here. That was a really nice ball by Shakiris, and
yeah,
another great chance. I mean, at this point, we ought to be sitting on like 4 or 5 XG.
I think so. Yeah.
But yeah. Shakiris is kind of cooking a little bit. You know, this is where I think he's just vibing and getting in good spots, moving the ball quickly, playing with great tempo. I think he had another moment in the 68 where he played a nice little angled ball to Luno's making a run across the box and slides it to Jogo, then played a nice cross to Yappy. Who was, again, cutting, I think, well-timed run on the near post, just challenged well by the defender. But I think it was at this point where I was like, okay, Shakiris is kind of doing his thing, and I think can be a powerful, like, you know, 65, 70th minute sub throughout this tournament when we need a goal. I think he's someone who's going to be able to create some chances.
Yeah. Very happy to see that, because I think a lot of people were frustrated that he was brought into the camp ahead of, say, Noel Buck. And I do get that. Noel Buck has been great for the Revolution. But Shakiris is also a good player. It's just nice to be reminded of that. Yeah. 75th minute, lovely sequence. This is the part of the game that got me up out of my seat. A lovely sequence of one-touch passing from Luna, Edelman, and Shakiris. So, you know, part of your all Rondo crew. To get pressure after they win the ball off of Fiji in their half. And then McGlynn, I mean, it was like 7 or 8 passes to just get out of there. Yeah. And then McGlynn dimes Gomez at the back post. He takes it on his chest and drives at the post, tries to shoot, gets cleated as he shoots, you know, like studs on his ankle or something off the side netting, but no penalty given. I think that should have been a penalty. But whatever.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, we hadn't talked about Edelman at all. I thought, you know, he was good. Like he had really nice moments and like timing his like counter pressing moments and turned them over a lot. I thought he was clean on the ball. So yeah, just like a very workmanlike performance from Edelman, which is what you expect. But overall, I think he was solid and did get involved a little bit here and there in sort of the one touch kind of high tempo passing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't wasn't tested a ton on defense.
No.
But yeah, very, very solid. Wiley comes on for Yappy in the 75th minute and Luna kind of goes to the nine, the false nine, as you mentioned earlier. So then we've got Wiley at left wing, Cal on at right wing. They're pretty fluid though, the front three. And then in the 79th minute, Obed Vargas comes on for Edelman. And I really have, let's see, four more things to discuss, and they're all pretty exciting. You got anything you want to say before we get into those?
No, yeah, let's finish it out with these four.
88th minute goal. It's a Cowell banger, an 8-pass sequence culminating in another McGlynn ball over the top to Luna. Luna brings it down with his back to goal, lays it off to Cowell at the edge of the box. He just kind of stands his guy up, shimmies to the inside, and cracks one. Far post, thwacks into the net with a very satisfying sound. 2-0 USA. And that's what you get from Cowell, right?
Yeah, that's what you want from Cowell. Like, kind of keep it simple and get that ball on his right foot and let it rip. So he's bound to get one in, and he needed that. I think he's been losing the XG battle in MLS too. So like he's definitely due for a goal.
Oh, has he been underperforming?
Yeah, he's been getting in some good spots. He hadn't scored a goal yet in the season. So I feel like it's just been mounting. So I'm sure it was a nice little weight off his shoulders.
Then he went and hit the woodwork twice more in stoppage time. First one was a good ball slid across by Wiley for him. And he tries to take it with his instep right footed. And that first shot deflects off of a defender and just kind of spins up a defender who had hurled himself into the way. And then it skips up for him and he just absolutely smashes it off the crossbar. I don't know if I've ever seen a ball hit that clean in my life.
Love Cal's right foot. Nothing to complain about there. The bar doesn't, but two posts in a minute is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I just want to note that Shakiris is the one who found Wiley out of that scramble. Also good to see a good ball across from Wiley. And then we get another one where Wiley just does his guy on the left side. You've probably seen the clip. He does a step over to his right and then lifts the ball over the defender's foot. So a little bit of sauce from Caleb. And then he slides one across for Luna, who receives it at the top of the box. And then a very clever little outside of the boot slip pass in the direction he's facing to Cal, who is running at the goal between Luna and the goal. And Cal takes it first time and hits the far post. A lovely bit of soccer there. Just unlucky it doesn't find the back of the net.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the most fun things when watching, a United States soccer game is when you get up and then you get up a couple goals, you know you're going to win, and then the boys just start saucing a little bit. They play with confidence, they play without fear, and that's kind of what we're in. They're in this mode right now, and it was just fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it brings to mind the Kylo Ren more gif, you know. Yeah. And then we get our goal. The third goal is Jonathan Gomez, who again put in, I think, a solid shift. I'm interested in your assessment of him. But he gets fouled 25 yards from goal. Brandon Craig takes the free kick, and the keeper palms it off of the post. It ricochets back across the face of goal, and Wiley arrives and tucks it home. 3-0 USA in the 99th minute.
Yeah, that's a wrap. Gomez was good too. Yeah, I think the fullbacks in general just didn't have a lot to do. And so it was quiet. Sorry about that sound.
That's okay.
It was quiet for him for the most part. But I think when he had the ball out wide, I thought he made good decisions, and his crosses were, pretty precise when he had the opportunity. So yeah, I think Gomez probably sits the next game because he's played not a full 90, I think, now, both games. And
yeah,
Wiley probably gets the start in his more natural position at left back next game, I would imagine.
I would imagine so, too. The one thing I notice about Gomez is, I mean, obviously he scored that totally invaluable goal against Ecuador, but he's not really going at anybody in this tournament so far.
I don't really think that's his style. He's more of a guy who's going to play really well off of like a half space player, a winger. He's good at connecting and kind of the one touch passing. So it doesn't surprise me. I don't really think that's like his main strength is like doing people one on one. I think he sort of wins with like tempo
combining.
So yeah, combining, just being smart and precise.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that game is finished. Ecuador won 2-1. So let's see. We're top of the group with 6 points. Slovakia and Ecuador both with 3. We'll see. We'll see how we do against Slovakia. That game is Friday, right? Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern time.
Sure is. Yeah, I think be great to do a clean sweep in the group. I think the boys deserve it, and that'd be fun. So I don't know how. I haven't done the research to see how the knockout seeding could play out. So I have no idea what that could come of that. But yeah, let's win the group. 9 points would be awesome, and I think it's more than possible.
Let me ask you, since I don't know if we'll talk again, is anybody, I mean, we'll talk again someday, but I don't know if we'll talk again about this tournament.
Yeah, are you breaking some news to me?
No. Is anybody in this 2-game sample who has lifted their stock the most for you?
I wouldn't say so. I'd
like
say
nobody has.
Nobody's like been performing at a level that's like kind of I wasn't expecting, I would say. I think I'm happy to see that like Yappy's traits and skill sets are, I think, like usefully being applied. Like to see him get a goal here pretty soon. Maybe McGlynn. I think the thing I'm maybe seeing from McGlynn a little bit more than I thought is like, I don't think he's just completely unuseful defensively. Again, I think Hartman touched on it well, like with, it's not an effort issue and it's not an intelligence issue. I think in the Ecuador game, I just thought he was more useful in like winning the ball back than maybe I gave him credit for. So, and then he's doing all the things that we come to love from him. So I've always been a little bit maybe conservative on my projection of him just because I thought he needs a lot around him to be successful. But
yeah.
Again, I want to see him do it in maybe, you know, in one of these knockout games against a higher level opponent, but he's maybe the one that is standing out as like there might just be a little bit more to his game than we're giving him credit for, and he might be able to function in more systems than maybe we're giving him credit for. So maybe that's something to keep an eye on. Otherwise, I mean this in the most positive way, I think the guys are sort of performing the way I'd expected them to. So, yeah, I think that's my thought so far.
Okay. I love it. And, you know, 50% of our listenership is in Philadelphia, is by my reckoning. So they'll love to hear that too. No, that's not true. It's just a joke. But they're a vocal fan base, so they love to hear good stuff about their kids. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you for doing this. And I should say, you know, check out our Patreon if you're into that sort of thing. It's in the link is in the show notes. You get the Monday review every week. You get to come on the Discord and say whatever you want in there. You know, well, not whatever you want, but a lot of stuff. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll see ya.